chapter 23. I'll talk about something that makes you think a little bit. Can sinners be saved that's on their deathbed? Think about it. Can evil, wicked, ungodly people be saved just before they die? Let's look in the Bible and see what God says in His Word. Luke 23 and verse 39. And one of the malefactors, which was hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Wow, does that answer our questions that we asked a while ago, folks? You know what that's all called? That's the grace of God. I want to talk about deathbed salvation today. I was thinking the other day, working on another sermon, and somehow or another, my mind got turned to this. And so I want to talk about deathbed salvation. Sometimes we question people at the last minute. They claim they've got saved. They've lived all their life without the Lord, and they get out on their deathbed and they claim they've got saved. They've accepted the Lord. And maybe we wonder about that. Well, here's an example of an evil, wicked, ungodly man. Jesus himself said, "I'm going to take you to paradise." Amen? Isn't that good news? There's no telling how shocked you and I are going to be when we get to heaven and find a lot of people we thought was lost are in heaven, folks. Won't that be something? So you might be worrying about somebody today that you thought maybe a loved one or a friend or co-worker or something, they died lost. You don't know where they died lost or not. They might have called on the Lord. Amen? Boy, wouldn't that be something? You know what? There's a lot of people you think are saved may not be there when we get to him. I'm afraid that's going to be true also. Here's two thieves. One was their lawbreakers. They're worthy of death according to the Roman government. And they're dying, one on each side of Jesus. They've been crucified. And both of them at first are railing on Jesus. I mean, they're letting the Lord have it, both of them, because these are two wicked men. They're using all kind of foul language, no doubt. They said, "If you are who you say you are, then get us down from this cross." And both of those men, no doubt, had been observing Jesus, how he had reacted on the cross. He wasn't acting like they were. He was different. And they knew there was something about him that was unlike both of them. And he was getting their attention. Now, we've seen people and known people who won't go to church, haven't we? They don't believe the Bible, some of them. They don't seem to need God. Some do not even believe there is a God. And they die that way. Then there are others who at the end of their life, they desire to be saved and they desire salvation. Just like the case in point today. I had a man a few years ago who knew of me, but I didn't know him. But I knew his family. And he sent word for me to go see him when he was sick at home with cancer. He told me he wanted to make sure he was saved. I made several trips to see this man at his home. And when he passed away, I was asked to conduct his funeral. He has lived his life, but before he died, he got to thinking, I just want to make sure I am saved. Boy, that's a wise decision, isn't it? You know, you can believe wrong. Like, there's a lot of people today that they think they're saved, but they're not saved. They just have religion. They just have religion. This man lived his life, but before he died, he wanted to make sure when he died, he was going to be saved. Some people are like this, and it's not a good idea when one takes for granted he's saved. You better be sure. The Bible says to examine yourself to see if you're saved. These two lawbreakers on their crosses had lived without God, and now they were facing death. They had each lived a life of sin and separated from God. They did their own thing. They lived like they wanted to, but isn't that a bad situation to be in? Now you're facing death. You know, some people think that they're invincible. They're full of energy and life. And I mean, I got it. But death can make you think if you're about to die. They were just like so many people are today. While it appears one of the men believed there was a God, the other one had no fear of God. There's a lot of people, they don't fear God. They just have no fear. They're that deceived. That's what sin will do. That's what Satan does. That's his chief work. Cause men not to fear God, not to see how awful their sin is before a holy God. But God sees our sin. Thank God we got a Bible, the Word of God, to tell us about our need, our situation, and the hope there is that Jesus Christ did die on a cross to pay for all of our sin. If we would only believe in him. Some people, no matter what you may tell them, will not turn to the Lord. You just can't convince them to save your life. Only the Word of God and the Spirit of God can convince people. We can't. I can't save a soul. The Pope can't even save nobody. I doubt if he's even saved myself. Well, what he believes. Yeah. They people harden their heart and they stubbornly refuse to humble themselves. You can't be saved if you don't humble yourself. You got to humble yourself and recognize you're lost. Yeah. Some people do not believe there's a God or even an afterlife. They think you live and die and that's it. Surprise, surprise for a lot of folks. Rather than submit, they're determined to rebel against God if there is one, as they think, if there is a God. Even as they face eternal separation from Him. Sin is dangerous, church. Sin is dangerous. And these people, they don't recognize that there is such a thing as sin. Amen. Oh, I just made a mistake. You know, I just made a bad decision. The Bible calls it sin. Sin. Sin is so dangerous. It blinds people. It deceives people, church. As one thief railed out at Jesus to save himself and them, the other robber asked Jesus after a period to remember him when he came into his kingdom. Lord, I want you to remember me. Boy, that was a quick change of opinion, weren't it? Here he was railing at Jesus, using all kind of awful words at Jesus. And now, all of a sudden, he's changed his mind. What's happened? What's got him to change his mind? After this thief railed out to save himself and them, the other robber asked Jesus after a period to remember him when he came into his kingdom. Did Jesus' earlier cry when he was hung on the cross, Father, forgive them. Amen. Did that resonate with that thief? Did that start to get him to thinking? Hey, here's this man hanging on the cross, and he's asking God to forgive those people that put him on the cross? Well, that's ridiculous. You know, the thieves were cursing them. And Jesus was saying, Lord, forgive them. Think about it, church. Think about that. Two of them was cursing the people that hung them there. And the one in the middle was, Lord, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. And you know what? They didn't. Amen. Folks, that's our Savior. That's our Savior. He's different from us, isn't he? Amen. Ain't he different from me and you? Amen. Ain't no telling what me and you would have been saying. Amen. Amen. But Jesus said, Father, forgive them. That must have got one of them's attention, folks. Yeah, did the failure to rail against those who crucified him impress that thief? Apparently it did. It must to have been the demeanor of Jesus hanging on that cross. Also, how Jesus was acting up there and how they were acting. Two different pictures of people. How blessed is the one who sees their sin and realizes their only hope is Jesus. Their only hope is Jesus. You know, that is very true. Jesus is our only hope. There's no other avenue of salvation. There's no other avenue of riddance of sin. Jesus is the only hope of the world, the only hope for a sinner. But so few people recognize that because they don't believe this book. They don't read this book. They're all caught up with what they want to do with their life. And it's so sad, folks. And Satan is leading them down the broad road of destruction. Jesus said, most folks were going down the wrong road of life. My, how bad that is, folks. Yeah. How blessed is the one who sees their sin and recognizes Jesus as their only hope. Here's this condemned man dying on his cross with a life of sin behind him. Now he starts to reach out there just before he dies. He's starting to realize, hey, this man is different from me and this other guy. There's something about him. You know, he must be the King of Kings. He must be going to have a kingdom. All these thoughts must have started going through his mind, because over his head was a sign, King of Kings. And he'd heard others talk about him. And he'd heard about, no doubt, the miracles Jesus had did. And maybe he was all confused. But now seeing him for himself, seeing how he was dying and how they were dying, he decided, listen, this man might be the real deal. He might be the one I need. He might can help me. Amen. So he says to Jesus, Lord, remember me. Don't you know it was such a humble request? Such a change of opinion? Such a change in his tone? Lord, remember me. His life of sin condemned him, and he knew it. How many people today in this world of ours know their sin condemn them? You reckon Putin knows his sin condemns him? He's not the only one. I just use him because he's in the forefront now. Sin condemns everybody until Jesus washes it away. Only the blood of Jesus cleanses, the Bible says, cleanses us from our sin, makes us acceptable. Oh, the people today that think they're good enough to go to heaven. Oh, the people today that think, because God loves me, I'm going to go to heaven. No, no, no. God don't save people by love. God saves people by grace. We don't deserve to be saved. He saves by grace through faith in his Son who poured out his blood for sinners. When you recognize you're that sinner and that Jesus took your place and paid your debt. Folks, you better believe that, or you don't have any hope. You have a false hope if you don't believe that. A false hope. Folks, I believe what I'm preaching. I know what I'm preaching is the Word of God. Yes, his life of sin condemned him, but his faith saved him. Did y'all hear what I just said? Did you get what I just said? His faith. Because he believed in Jesus. Faith saves you, folks. Real faith saves you. Nothing else. That's how you connect to Jesus. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. The writer of Hebrews wrote, you can't please God without faith. The only way to get saved is by faith, not by doing anything. You can't do anything. Just believe. He even gives you the faith to believe if you hear the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Believe the word. Believe Jesus died for you. Believe you're that sinner he died for. That's the only way you can be saved. There's no other way to be saved but by faith. Ask the Lord. This is what this robber, murderer, this evil, wicked man lived that way all of his life. And now he says, Lord, remember me. Think about that man asking to be remembered, for the Lord to remember him. How did he even think Jesus would even want him? Amen. In his kingdom, such a feller as he was. Why did he even think that? But Jesus does. In God's sight, we're all like that. Did you know that, my church brothers and sisters? We're all like that wicked man died on the cross. We're nothing but sinners. We're all sinners, breaking the law of God every way you can think of. If you didn't break it physically, you thought about it. You thought about it. That's just as bad. Amen? I could have knocked his eyes out. You know what I'm saying? That's sin too. Yeah, we're sinners. We're helpless. We're needy. But this robber, murderer, wicked, evil, godless man saw the real deal in Jesus hanging on the cross. And he asked the Lord to remember him, church. And by faith, he was saved. That's what faith will do for anyone who will repent of their sin. God does not care how long you've sinned. This man had sinned all of his life. God does not care how awful your sins are or how many sins you have. That don't even matter to God. God wants you to be saved. Amen? God wants you to be saved. Jesus Christ died for all people. I believe that. Now, I know we got people that's Bible scholars. And they're teaching people that God has elected some people to be saved and others not. Folks, let me tell you something. You know who God elected to be saved? Whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the one that's going to be saved. All you got to do is read John 3:16, and I believe every word of it. Amen. God didn't just go out in the world and pick out, I'm going to save you and you and you, but the rest of y'all go to hell. God don't operate that way. However, I will say this. God knew before he made anybody who would be saved. He knew who would believe. And that's the elected ones, the chosen ones. Because when you come along in this world, you believed or you didn't believe. But God knew it before he made the world. Folks, we're talking about an awesome God that knows everything. Amen? Yeah. So God don't care how long you've sinned, how awful your sins are. He just wants you to be saved. He wants you to live with Him. And I was thinking about that this week. In fact, I think I mentioned it to Faith. I said, honey, what is it about us that God would want us to be with Him? Think about that, folks. What have you got to offer God when He's such a God that can make this world out of nothing? Folks, we're little creatures in the sight of God. But we love, He loves us so much He sent His Son to die for. God is a forgiving God. That's His nature. He wants to forgive. He wants to forgive anybody, anywhere, no matter who they are, what they've done. And this Bible is full of it in the Old and in the New Testament. God pleads with people, come to me. I'll give you eternal life. If you'll just come. Just come and admit you're a sinner. I'll give you life forever. Think about living forever. Here it is. Now, I've lived a long time myself by the world standards today. There's not a whole lot of people that lives past my age. There's some, I know, but I think the average age now for women is about 78, 79 maybe. Us men about 77, 7.5 or something like that is the average age now. So if you're over 70 now, you're on borrowed time, amen? Amen. Hey. But when you get saved, you're going to live forever. And for, you know how long forever is? I've told you before. It's forever. Amen. So one of these days, I'm just going to change from a body of death to live in a body of, in a twinkling of an eye at that fast. And you too, if you're a believer. And we're going to live forever. We ain't going to ever die. We won't ever think of dying. Won't even think of dying anymore, folks. Boy, in fact, death itself is going to be thrown into the lake of fire with all those people that wouldn't get saved. And they're going to be in a place of death forever, but alive. Alive, but dead to God. Dead to God. How pitiful. How pitiful, church, that is. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here in the Holy Scriptures, we see a deathbed experience of salvation, but a lifelong, poor, wicked sinner. And yet we see a deathbed salvation experience. And that's the reason I'm trying to encourage y'all today. Some of your family might have died. Some of your friends might have died. Somebody you know may have died. And you thought, well, it looks like they're lost. You don't know that. At the last, they may have said, Lord, remember me. Isn't that good news, church? Isn't that good news? Yes, it's good news. Even in the waning moments of this man's life, before he succumbed to death, he receives the gift of salvation that's promised to all that call on the Lord. Amen. It's promised to all. Just call on the Lord and He'll save you. If you mean it. Just like this man did. On the other hand, the other malefactor was hardened to the last. He was like old Pharaoh down in Egypt with Moses and them. Old Pharaoh just could not repent and mean it. Just like this guy, he was so hard, and his heart was so hard, he was determined, I am not going to bow down. So sad. Your heart can get that hard. Sin can make it that hard. I want to talk with you a little bit about several men whose last words, they were atheists, and what they said on their deathbed. Let me share this with you. Listen carefully. Thomas Hobbes, a political philosopher, people that was at their bedside when these people died, have wrote this down for us. But it was said of Thomas Hobbes when he died, I say again, if I had the whole world at my disposal, I would give it to live one day. If he owned the world, if you let me live just one more day, I'd give you the world. I'm about to take a leap into the dark. That was his last words. Thomas Paine, a leading atheistic writer in America, the American colonies, here's what he had to say. Listen carefully. The people that was around his bed when he was dying. Remember, he's an atheist. He said, stay with me for God's sake. I cannot bear to be left alone. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, God, what have I done to suffer so much? What will become of me hereafter? I would give worlds if I had them. That the Age of Reason had never been published. He wrote a book against God. The name of the book was The Age of Reason. He had reasoned wrong, he found out. Oh, Lord, help me, he cried. No one, don't leave me. Stay with me. Send even a child to stay with me. I'm on the edge of hell, here alone. If ever the devil had an agent, I have been that one. That's what this atheist said dying. People wrote down about him. Thomas Paine. Sir Thomas Scott, Chancellor of England. Someone wrote about him when he was dying. Until this moment, I thought there was neither a God nor hell. Now I know and feel that there are both, and I'm doomed to perdition by the just judgment of the Almighty, were his last words. And one more. Voltaire, famous anti-Christian atheist, said this to those that was standing around his dying bed. I'm abandoned by God and man, he said to his physician, Dr. Fochin. I will give you half of what I am worth if you'll give me 6 months of life. When he was told this was impossible, he said, then I shall die, go to hell. His nurse said, for all the money in Europe, I wouldn't want to see another unbeliever die. All night long, he cried for forgiveness. Without Jesus, there's no forgiveness. Only Jesus saves, church. These men dying words do not give encouragement to any who put off repenting till they come to their deathbed. Sometime on your deathbed, you still can't get saved. Your heart's so hard. You've been given too many chances. You didn't respond. You know, a lot of people, they wait till the last minute. I'm going to get saved right at the last, just before I die. How do you know that? How do you know that? You know, if a blood vessel busts, they call it an aneurysm, you're gone. What if a stray bullet, and nowadays, they stray bullets are flying all the time now. You might be the innocent one that gets killed. And you get killed lost, you're lost. Amen? Don't you wait to the last minute. Those of us that are saved today, we need to make sure we let others know people, let people know that they better not put off to the last thing. You may not have another chance. May not have another chance. When I say repent, all must repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the Lord requires we repent of our sin. One of these thieves reproved the other for railing on Christ. He knew he deserved what was done to him, and he believed Jesus was suffering wrongfully. He also believed in a life to come and desired to be with Jesus. He was different from them. He must be the Christ. And we see here one thief wanted to be saved. One sinner wanted to be saved from the cross, and the other thief wanted to be saved for eternity. One thief wanted to be saved from the cross. The other one wanted to be saved for eternity. What about us? Do we want to be saved from the hard times and the sufferings of this life? Or do we want to be saved from our sins and live forever? Oh, people all around us, I wish I could be saved from all this debt I got on me. I wish I could be saved from this illness that I got. I wish I could get out of this stupid marriage I'm in. Hey, what about you want to be saved from your sin? That might straighten out all your problems.
Amen.
Amen? That would straighten out all your problems. Get saved. Get the Lord on your side. Amen? Yeah, that's what would do the job. We look around at us today, and this is what we see in people's choices. It appears most people without thinking are choosing the discomforts of this life. They'd rather just live this life with what they got to face here rather than the promises of a future better life in paradise. Yeah, they just want what they see here and trying to struggle to get what they see here rather than have a future life in paradise. Just think about paradise, church. When you get to heaven, there won't be any death there. Won't be any fear there. There won't be any evil there. There won't be any sin there. There won't be anything negative there. Everything's going to be positive. Do you want to go to such a place where you're loved? Where you're loved? No backbiting, no gossip, Nobody feels better than somebody else. Amen. Listen, folks. We're all mixed up in this world. And only the Word of God can straighten us out. Get us on the right track. One of the thieves on the cross, you know what his only interest was? Make me comfortable now. That's what the thief that wouldn't accept Jesus wanted. I just want you to make me comfortable now. Notice the humility of the thief who asked the Lord to remember him in his request. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Boy, what a shock. Right then the Lord turned to him and said, today. Amen. Amen. Today you're going to be with me in paradise. Paradise, did you get that, church? Going to be with me in paradise. I'm going to take you to paradise. For it is not any more pain. Nobody jeering at you. Nobody nailing you to a cross. Amen. In paradise, you live forever. Now, back in those days, when a person died, they were put in paradise, in the heart of the earth. But when Jesus died and rose from the dead, he had went down into paradise and took all those saints, Moses and Abraham and David, all the saints in the Old Testament, he took them all out and he took them to the Father's house. Amen. Over there in the other place, other half of Hades, he left those people that was wicked and wouldn't repent. He left them there in that place where in Luke 16, the rich man was at wanting water. And in the flames. And they're over there wanting somebody to go tell their family, don't come to this place. And those people are still down there right now wanting water after 2,000 years. Some's been down there ever since Cain was thrown down there 6,000 years ago in torment, wanting one drop of water. You better not die without Jesus, church. Amen. You better not just have religion. You can amen and holler and shout all you want, but if you're not saved, you'll wind up in hell. Amen. There's a lot of people this hour right now in places, they're having them a time with their religion. They're shouting and a hollering and a carrying on, rolling in the floor. Oh, I'm so spiritual. They better not die with their religion. You better be saved. Because God don't play. And God's not deceived. People can act spiritual. This thief saw something in Jesus. I'm about to close. I don't have but 5 or 6 more pages. Amen. This thief saw something in Jesus that gave him hope. So he humbled himself. And he asked Jesus, Lord, remember me. Hallelujah. Think about this. Jesus was struggling to get his own breath hanging on a cross. His own blood was pouring out. He was in extreme pain just like everybody else, folks. He was a human. He was hurting Johnny just like everybody else. His pain was just as real, Brother Chavis. And yet, here's this guy. Lord, remember me. You know what the Lord did? He took time for him. He took time for him, Brother Carl and Ray. With all the problems Jesus had there, he took time for this man that wanted to be saved. Amen? How important that is. How precious that is. Yeah, Jesus took time to die for me. He took time to die for you, church. It cost him his life. The suffering he went through was like no other. He didn't just suffer physically. His soul was made an offering for sin, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53. His soul was made an offering for sin. He bore the sins of all the world. He was judged by God Almighty. Listen to me, church. God poured out his wrath on his son. The wrath of God. That's how awful sin is. And we just love sin. We love sin. But God hates sin. God hates sin. In a single instant in Scripture, we see a last minute salvation. A last minute salvation for a sinner. I'm glad this is in the Bible, aren't you? I'm glad this is in the Bible. God saves up to the last minute people that'll call on the Lord, church. Yeah. And isn't it sad? Here's this other thief hanging right side of Jesus, just as close to Jesus. He could have been saved too. But no. I'm not going to repent. I'm not going to repent. Think of how close he was to salvation. I'm about to close. Think of how close he was to being saved, that other sinner. He was right next to Jesus. It reminds me of when the Apostle Paul was preaching to King Agrippa. You remember that over in the book of Acts? He was really pouring it on old King Agrippa. Old Agrippa finally said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. But that's not close enough. You can't be almost saved and go to heaven. Agrippa almost was saved, but it was not. Isn't that sad? To almost be looking inside of heaven and miss it. People are like that every day today. People sitting in churches hearing the gospel being preached, and they walk out the door. I'll get saved next week. And they get killed in a wreck. Or some else. Almost won't get you there. You got to be saved. You got to say, Lord, remember me. Did you know Jesus did one last point? And I want y'all to listen to this carefully. I've noticed when Billy Graham was preaching, he followed this principle. You think about it. Did you notice that Jesus did not even try to persuade the other criminal to believe? He didn't turn and say, well, don't you want to get saved too? He didn't do that. You ever thought about that? He didn't try to convince him you need to get saved. Jesus had lived his life. Jesus was there with him right now. He had viewed just like the other guy. But Jesus never did say anything to encourage that other thief to get saved and go to paradise. Never hinted at it. Why? Because you're supposed to make up your mind. You're the one to decide. You have the word. You've heard the message. What you going to do with it? What you going to do with it? You know, sometimes us preachers can overbeg, I believe. We're just commanded to preach the gospel. I'm thinking sometimes at revival meetings, preachers overextend, etc., to get somebody to come up so people think, well, I'm such a great preacher. We had 25 saved last night. Listen, a preacher didn't save a single one of them. Only the Word of God can save. And the Spirit of God. Amen. Us humans are just powerless. We're just messengers that preach the message. So he left it up to that thief. Do you want to go to heaven? Or do you want to miss heaven? And God's left it up to you, my brothers and sisters today, to make a decision where you're going to spend eternity. But God does save people up even on their deathbed. Praise God. Praise God for a God of grace, love, and mercy. I'm glad I got saved at 14. And I'm just as glad that one day, and I tried to get out of it as hard as I could. I run as long as I could till he nearly beat me to death. I'm glad I accepted the call to preach. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. Besides salvation and my wife. Praise God. Let's love the Lord. Let's serve the Lord. Let's share the Lord. And we're going to enjoy him forever. Loving God, thank you. You give us this time today, Lord. Lord, thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to pray for mercy for those people where they're being brutally attacked by a madman, Lord. I know, Lord, you are in control. I know you're working out your will. I don't understand all times the will of God. But I know you do what's right because you're God and you can't do wrong. And one day you're going to make everything right according to the Word of God. Bless, have your way. And help us to love you and serve you and be faithful in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. May God speak to hearts. Maybe you want to come to the altar today and praise the Lord. If you're not saved, maybe you want to get saved today. Amen? Amen. May the Lord bless.